This is the Morning Conversation on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
From the Douglas Forest Protective Association Public Information Officer Rachel Pope in to give us an update on the fire situation around the area. And I can tell you're happy to see all the rain yesterday.
We are very happy to see that rain. It was much needed reprieve that we needed for firefighters in the district.
So a few days ago, I guess it was over the weekend, we went to low fire danger. Talk about that.
Yeah, so due to the precipitation that we received in the district, which was almost an inch in total since the 24th rain started coming in, it lessened our fire danger out there on the ground because of the dampness and the wetness that the rain brought. However, we are still in fire danger. The fire danger level is at low, and we're at IFPL 1 throughout the district.
So talk about the Tyee Ridge Complex. Things look like they've really quieted down. So what's still going on up in that area?
Today you're getting some exclusive content. I haven't put together the official press release yet, but as of Saturday, our Team 3 or our Type 3 team that was out there was officially demobed, which means we are no longer staffing it with a firefighter team out there. We've reached 100% containment as of Saturday. It is in patrol status, and there are some fire suppression rehabilitation that's going on out there. So we'll have a handful of firefighters and individuals from BLM that are out there working on containing those rehab projects. And once that's finished, ourselves, DFPA and BLM will send out a joint press release with an update and addressing those BLM closures that are in place for the Tyee Ridge Complex area.
So does that mean the fire camp and all of that is not there then?
100% correct. Fire camp has been dismantled. All of the hose, miles and miles of hose, has come into the shop. Our firefighters are out there cleaning all of that hose, winding it back up, putting stuff back into our fire cache or our fire inventory. And so that's what everybody is focused on right now, is the aftermath of fire, cleaning up, dealing with equipment, operators going back to other areas that they were here from throughout the state, and getting back to some type of normalcy, or whatever you can consider normalcy when you're in fire.
I seems so laborious. I saw one of the pictures of some of the fire hose, and just you think about, I mean, you said miles and miles of it, because so many people had long lengths of hose and they were spread all over the place up there. And how do you keep track of all that?
We have really great staff in our logistics and planning teams. These are things that we really don't usually talk about on the grand scheme level. We talk about our firefighters. We talk about our aviation resources that are out there. But there's individuals that track every piece of equipment, hose, nozzle, to your hard hat and radio that you take out to the fire. All of those things are accounted for and tallied, just like any type of inventory in a shop or a retail office. Same thing. We do the same thing in fire.
So, and not only do you have the DFPA equipment, but a lot of these other folks come with equipment they were using, and you've got to make sure that the fire hose from Montana gets back to the guys from Montana before they leave, things like that.
Exactly. So that's another thing. It gets organized and separated and then tallied. So we have a Southern Oregon area fire cache, or this is a trailer that has all the equipment that we use, and that's used for any fire that happens in Southern Oregon. And then there's a Redmond fire cache that's usually allocated to fires on the eastern part of the state. Well, with the Tyee being the number one fire at the time in the nation, that fire cache was sent and shipped to our fire for us to be able to use. And so that's some of the things that our firefighters are doing now, is organizing, cleaning it, and replenishing those trailers, sending it back to where it came from, so we're ready to go again if a fire should take off, or even if we get allocated to a fire out of the state and they ask for us to bring supplies, we do the same thing and pay it forward.
You know, looking last week in particular, it seemed like whenever I was out around town, I saw rigs, obviously kind of leaving the area in mass. passed someplace over the weekend where a crew was at a laundromat, you know, catching up on laundry and things like that. They were from out of state. And so many vehicles, such a quick response from so many states and other parts of Oregon. It's really amazing how that all gets, how it all comes together.
It's a collaborative, cooperative work that we have in place. It's agreements that we sign. So when everybody thinks we're not busy off season, that's actually what we're doing. We're looking at agreements and contracts and how we're working with everybody else throughout the state and agreeing to what we're going to do when we respond. And when we announce that we need help, these messages go out through all the states and everybody looks at what type of resources they have to fulfill those needs that we're asking for. And so with this Tyee Ridge complex, we had an up to almost 2,000 personnel that came out to help us, and individuals were here in Douglas County from 19 different states. And I can't express in words the gratitude that we have to everybody. Everybody that responds to an emergency event like this drops everything that they're doing, drops their personal responsibilities, drops their family and friend lives that they had, cancels concert tickets and stuff like that, and responds to an emergency and helps us. And we're forever thankful.
Yeah, when you come from some of these other states and you're bringing your equipment, because you need to bring your equipment, I mean, if you're in Colorado, it's going to take you 2 days to get here, you know, and things like that. And so that's just, it's fascinating to see how all that is put together. Now, what about other calls outside of the Big Tyee complex? Have you seen a lessening of calls for local incidents, people, and of course, we've dropped fire danger, so that changes some of the things people are allowed to do.
That drops the restrictions that we have in place, meaning when we had restrictions when you can cut your grass or when you could run a chainsaw, those have all lessened, and now in low fire danger, you can do it all day. Debris burning and burn piles and open campfires are still restricted. We were on a lot of calls yesterday and the day before because the public assumes that it rains, that it's okay to burn. Actually, no. If you go out and look at the grass or drive down the Interstate 5, you could see that it's still dry out there. It's still brown out there, which means that that potential is still there, which is why we're still in fire danger. So those calls have increased through the past weekend when it was raining. So our fire wardens were out handling those calls. As far as other fire starts, we had zero throughout the weekend, which is fantastic. Gives everybody time to focus on everything else like enforcement, education, prevention, and cleaning our rigs. You know, if you're out on fire, things get dirty and you don't really have time to take care of those minor things. So,
and with the status that we're in right now, we've got rain this week, not as much probably cumulatively as we may have gotten yesterday, but then next week we get back into the 70s and sunshine for several days, and I understand things can dry back up pretty quickly.
Yeah, things can dry up, and that's why we're still in fire season. We are monitoring our precipitation levels, our humidity levels, and we're looking at the fuels to see if there's any green up. Though, when you're looking at green grass coming in and growing underneath that that brown, dried, dead, cured stuff, that's those are the signs when we're getting ready to go out of fire season. So there's a lot of sciencey stuff going on behind the scenes, looking at data, analyzing those levels that I just talked about to determine when we're going to go out of fire season. Last year, we went out of fire season October 24th. We also started fire season a lot later last year because that precip that came in May, June, July. So we're really just looking at things, hopeful that we're ending season soon. I know I am. I'd like to take a weekend off. That'd be fantastic. But we're in this together. We're almost there. So let's keep going.
Anything else people ought to know about just what they should do or not do right now?
Just remember that debris burning and burning is restricted at this time. For all of our grazing lands and our ranchers that are asking and calling and when we're going to start opening up prescribed burn permits, we're looking at those levels right now, too. That's in the works this week of communications that we're going to have in meetings to deciding when we're going to open that up. So once we have those official decisions, that will go out in a press release and also post it to our social media. As always, as notifications to the public to let everybody know when we decide that that's going to happen too.
All right, Rachel Pope from the Douglas Forest Protective Association, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for always having us, Kyle.
8:41 at the Morning Report.